Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. I have a special guest.
Where are you, Sarah?
Ellie, come say hi. Oh, she's not loving this right now. Hi, Ellie.
What a beautiful dog.
So this is my mom's dog. My mom is now trying to make faces at her so she can look at the camera. But hi, everyone from Pennsylvania.
Hello from Pennsylvania. What city in Pennsylvania are you in?
Good old Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Allentown, so, Pennsylvania. My freshman roommate in college was from Allentown. It's the only person I know from Allentown. So
no way. That's crazy. Well, okay. Thank you for gracing us with your appearance. Also want to do a special shout out for our early morning energy, because we can't be doing this, even though it's not as early. But this is a shout out, by the way, for everybody. Steve's Coffee. My mom has Steve's Coffee. Biscayne Coffee.
Yeah, mom.
Not only that, but we have two different versions of it. We have a little mochaccino that we made with it.
Look at this commercial.
This is so amazing. And then, stop. This is out of control. This is the little cappuccino that my mom made with your coffee in the fresh, what was that, French press?
French press.
Yeah, French press. So she ground the beans and
French press.
Yeah, French press. This is really.
This is such a nice surprise. The guys that surprised me on air with my coffee, Biscayne Coffee. For all the listeners out there, you can go to biscaynecoffee.com. Get yours today.
And if you're really talented, you can make it look this pretty.
That is beautiful.
But
I'm screenshotting this. Screenshot it.
Oh, here, wait, hold on. Here, screenshot this. Where I go like that.
Bam.
Oh my gosh, hilarious. All right, there you go.
Thank you very much, ladies. That means a lot.
Enjoy your coffee. I had to let her enjoy her cappuccino. That's why we had to start off the show with that, so it didn't get cold or have the foam go down. Look at you laughing over there.
I'm just so happy. That was beautiful. I was not expecting.
Are you kidding me? It was amazing. Well, good morning, everybody. For everyone that's joining, let us know where you're joining from. We have a big Biscayne Coffee fan. Yeah, Jeremy. Woohoo.
Big Biscayne Coffee fan sipping on it now. That is my brother.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Video 3D artist, videography, musician. Check out David Turk when you have a chance.
David Turk, make sure that we're connected online, buddy. We got to keep it all connected. Okay. Oh, you're doing a quick overnight in Atlanta downtown. What are some of your favorite places to stay? Ooh. I was just at a really awesome place. I'm trying to remember it. That is super cute. And, but I will talk about this. We can talk about it in a little bit, but, I was at the Atlanta airport for 6 hours on Friday. That was nice. And they have a brand new Centurion Lounge, in Terminal E. It was awesome. It was so cool. So I'll post it on LinkedIn. I shared it on my Instagram and my TikTok, my tiki-taki. Wow.
Biscayne Coffee is fueling. I told you, strong.
My tiki-taki. Oh my gosh. I'm showing my age. But oh gosh, you know what, Tanner, shoot me a DM and I will send you a couple of links to different hotels. My brain is short circuiting at the moment and I'm not thinking of all the ones that I want aside from like the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead, but there's some cool boutique hotels that I can share with you. Yeah, yes, Amex for the win.
Amex looked beautiful. That's why I'm a big fan of theirs.
Oh wow, we got this interesting comment that came in on Facebook. Hey bud,
a lot of fun stuff coming through here today. Love seeing it all. And Jeremy, Steve, your hotel visits are amazing. I can't wait for you to do a Europe tour.
Oh,
paid to do it.
Oof. buddy, yes, I know.
How do I get paid to do it? I need someone to help pay me to do it.
Don't worry. We can take this show on the road. We'll go through Europe. We can choose a couple different cities. Like, it's no big deal. I got people.
You do. You know everybody out there. I love doing it. And I appreciate all you guys watching. It's been fun to see you guys commenting, especially on YouTube and LinkedIn. Is like really the place that's blowing up, which surprised me.
Yeah.
I love visiting these places. That's why I'm a little red today. So if you didn't see today's episode, I was out in the cabana all day yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Talk to us about your little tan situation that's going on here, because
a little red. I put SPF 70 on yesterday. It still wasn't strong enough in Miami, and I'm born and raised here. So
I was just about to say, don't you like, don't you get tan? Is that not like in your blood?
No, it's not in my blood. I'm a white boy. I stay white and red. I get a little red.
I love that. I'm like, it's even in my blood. Okay. Well, at least I tell myself that, but I lean into my Lebanese side and say, I got some olive skin somewhere. I don't know where, but.
But I love going there yesterday. Again, a lot of fun. So if you have a hotel you want me to visit in the Miami Beach area, South Florida area, let me know. I'm on the move. And I got spotted yesterday for the first time. And
you got spotted. You're like,
he came on. He was very nice.
Oh,
very nice. Wow. He didn't kick me out. Like the other hotels, he came up and talked.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, so this is going to be really. So, what number are you on by now?
I'm on 11. So, continues on. So it's been 2 weeks, and I'm on 11. So, just I'm behind.
Just wait. It's okay. You have full life. You have a full life. So, interesting that you're already kind of getting spotted at 11. Just wait and see what it's like at 25. See what it's like at 35. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait. I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Maybe I'll join you for one, because I'm going to be in South Florida a couple different times. So
let's do it. You're going to be down here soon. So it'll be during that journey. So let's make it happen.
During the journey. Oh my God. The journey. All right, guys. You ready to talk about our first topic here?
Let's do it.
This makes me so happy. Okay. This article came out titled "Luxury Hotels Are Having a Glorious Moment." Basically talking about just how luxury hotels are really skyrocketing and are just more popular than ever. And what they started off this article with was the cost, by the way, of the most expensive suite in the world. If you are listening live, just quickly put in some numbers. What do you think the most expensive suite in the world is in dollars? Please don't make us convert to yen and anything else. my brain is not operating quite that quickly. So let us know what you think the most expensive suite is in the world. And we'll come back to that. And maybe if you even know where. But they were just talking about how just with the way that the economy is, they broke it down in that there are more millionaires than ever. Even since 2012, there are now double the amount of millionaires. And so people are spending more money when it comes to travel. And it's even bookings in luxury hotel rooms. It rose by 9% this past January since last year. So it's like people are spending a pretty penny. And I mean, I think it's kind of exciting. Anybody come in with some guesses here?
Not yet, but as they're coming in with some guesses on the amount.
Yeah.
Jeremy says $47,000.
Good. So
there
that's
is
good.
One that, of those.
By the way, super pricey. That's a lot of money for a hotel room for a night. By the way, I'm going to enjoy your Biscayne coffee on camera.
So I love seeing it. And like you mentioned, there's so many more people that are millionaires and billionaires at this point, and they're willing to pay big money. You know, I was watching this guy, Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. He now has this thing where he does his pizza review, but he's going to hotels. And he got really upset with one hotel because he said, look, I booked the presidential suite, not the one hotel, but a hotel he stayed at.
He
said, I pay $5,000 a night and this one was terrible, and pointed out everything that was terrible. And then he went to I forget what hotel it was in Scottsdale, Arizona. And they went all out and showed him how it should look. And he's like, this is what it should look like for $5,000. So these people now
wow,
more and more money and are willing to do it. And I think for all of you out there, say, Steve, I can't afford to stay in these prices. I'm not a millionaire yet. Well, I like going to these places. And you go on Google, type in whatever city you're at, filter it to five-star hotel, and then sort it by lowest price. And you're going to find some great deals.
Yes.
And these hotels are going to bend over backwards for you to have a great, amazing experience. So that's how I like
great places. Tip, Steve.
That's what I'm here for.
Wow.
It's out for everybody. So use those google.com/hotels. Make sure to do it. I think it's a great tool, and these hotels really want you to have a good time.
Oh, no, they definitely do. So a couple of guesses came in. I was impressed. Everywhere from $15,000 a night as the most expensive to $100,000 a night. Ricardo. Hi, Ricardo. Coming in hot with that.
In Vegas, he says.
In Vegas. And then Jeremy coming in with a $47,000. By the way, all of these are, you know, a pretty penny. Ricardo was spot on with the price, different location. So $100,000 a night for, I think it's the penthouse suite at the, in Dubai at the Atlantis, the Royal. This is insane. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. $100,000 a night.
I got Tanner saying he saved 15K on my advice. Happy that helped.
You're welcome. This is, I mean, that is just bananas. I mean, what you can do with that. I mean, that's a salary for some people.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that makes sense for somebody, especially if you have all the money in the world.
We can describe
you get with it. Give it to us. What is it in that suite?
We can describe the suite. So it's 12,000 square feet. If we are doing meters, it's 1,100 square meters, marble floors, terrace with an infinity pool. So you have your own private infinity pool, a steam room. That's nice. Some Hermes shampoo. That's an extra $1,000. I'm kidding. And then $500 bathrobes, a not so mini bar. Very cute. And then of course a butler. So, I mean, do you get early check-in with that?
You better get early check-in. I like that. And a late checkout. But I guess it makes sense. Look, I see some of these things on yachts too. Like when you have that money, like the amount it costs per night on some of these super yachts that you stay on. I see David asked about luxury Airbnbs. David. Yeah. There's villas out there that cost a ton.
Oh, totally. They're definitely homes. I don't know what, I'd be curious what the most expensive home is for one night. I have booked clients personally for $100,000 in a luxury home overlooking the water in Southern California, but it was for a week. So, I mean,
there's some in Miami that are like $20,000 a night, $30,000 a night. You start getting up there. I don't know if you ever heard of Mr. Beast on YouTube. He did a whole thing on it where he goes to like the most expensive places. I watched a bunch of them. So
stop it. We got some comedians here. For that price, you get to keep the butler. I sure hope so. And they forgot the helipad. Oh, wow. You guys are bringing the funny this morning. Use the butler to run an internet company and you'll save money on the stop.
I guess this happening. Like some of these things in Miami are happening. Like there's a condo for sale for $160 million. So like,
that's just, you know, crazy.
There's just crazy stuff going on right now with prices.
It's so crazy. But, you know, and just to kind of wrap up this article, because this is so fascinating. I mean, just in 2023 alone, revenues at Accor, for example, they own Fairmont, Raffles. They actually, so the revenues rose by 20%. And what's interesting too, is the investment game is becoming very lucrative, and very enticing for luxury properties because the annual rate of return on some of these luxury properties has exceeded 6%, in 2022. So if you are, liking to play that game, this is the highest in at least a decade. So it's attracting a lot of these investors beyond the usual hotel operators, to really, you know, kind of start playing in that luxury hotel game. It's like that. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, like people wanting to,
I'm going to walk down the street today and walking just in a straight line. You've got Aman Hotels opening up in like a year and a half. Auberge just announced that they're coming here to Miami to run the Short Club. You've got Rosewood that's going to run the Raleigh. You've got all these luxury hotels that are lining up, and Bulgari is going to be coming in as well. So all these brands are going to be right next to each other on Miami Beach. So people are paying or they wouldn't be building them.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And but I do love the aspect of it's like now becoming this sort of like cachet to be like, oh yeah, I'm a part owner, because you know they're gonna, I'm a part owner, even though they're investing in XYZ property in this. But look, if somebody has money and they want to put it in and it's a good investment, I mean that.
They're doing it, and a lot of cool hotel swag will be coming out. A lot of hats people will be wearing. Oh
my, I need to like start a part of my closet that's all hotel swag. Like I'm into that.
You should.
That would be.
We know you don't like robes in the hotels, so we got to find something else for it.
Although apparently I've worn enough since that comment, and man, have people been blowing me up in the DMs. They're like, "That looks like a robe. It is a bathing suit cover up." Okay, everybody, it was tie dye because I'm a secret hippie. All right. Don't know why I said that.
And next on.
Our next topic here. So this is interesting. Booking.com is now ending their possibly misleading sustainability program. So back in 2021, Booking.com initiated a program where they would highlight properties that were standouts in their sustainability practices. But, you know, they're not exactly an official sustainability, you know, badge giverer, and they've gotten some pushback. So to give you an idea also why this was kind of starting to turn some heads, just in April of 2022, so within a year of them starting this program, they had more than 100,000 properties listed, and they had actually 100,000 properties had received their travel sustainability badge. So basically that was more than 25% of their 400,000 hotels listed on Booking that year. So all of a sudden people were like, wait, that's 25% of these hotels on booking.com are being, you know, are succeeding in their sustainability efforts. And people were questioning it.
It's easy. It's not self-regulated. From when I was looking at it and going back, it's like, just check off. I recycle. I do this. I do that. I do this at the hotels, and you're a green, sustainable hotel, right?
Yeah.
So there's not anyone going property to property from Booking being, let me see your recycling bins in the back, and let me see your water pressure systems, and let me see all these things that you're doing.
Totally.
There's only a handful of hotels that I think really, really do this.
100%. Yeah. And so basically there was the Netherlands Authority for Consumers and Markets. So shout out to the Netherlands, headquartered in Amsterdam. They were like, no can do. You are giving a distorted view as far as what people are doing and how sustainable their efforts really are. So now they are actually kind of like backtracking. They are no longer giving out, they were moving their official travel sustainability awards. And then they're basically kind of teaming up. If a property has a sustainability award from an actual official agency, they will make note of that. So,
yeah, that's good. I like it that way because it's rigorous. When I was in the hotels, you know, I'm still into it, but I wanted to be green hotels. And I remember having to go through it. And it is a gigantic checklist that you have to go through. And it's not just like some stuff you're doing in the front of house. It's like your energy and your water consumption and you have tinted windows and your automatic AC. So there's not just like one or two things you can do and get this badge. You got to do hundreds of things.
Yeah.
And they get inspected to make sure you're doing it the right way.
It's crazy. A couple months ago, I interviewed one of the head chefs. She's actually head of their whole culinary department at the One Hotel in West Hollywood. And so for those that are familiar with the One Hotel brand, sustainability is huge. It is
focus.
Yeah, 100%. You walk in and there's like a tree that you check in at. That's the desk.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's great. Sure. And it was fascinating having this conversation with her because even just from the F&B side, how all the checks and balances to make sure that they've got this and that, and obviously it impacts their menu. They've got a rotating menu. But they have a garden in the back of their hotel that they're getting some of their own fruits and vegetables. So hotels that are really doing it right, it takes a lot.
Yeah, they have a position just for director sustainability, right? And that's all they look at throughout the hotels to make sure they're following the rules and that their vendors have it too. So if you want to be a vendor, you got to have a plan and you got to prove that you have a plan to be a sustainable company. So I love seeing that.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. Okay, moving along. Let's talk a little bit about travel. We talked all about these hotels. This is kind of cool. Travel agencies, their airline ticket sales have hit 8.9 billion in February. So since it was February air ticket sales, February air ticket sales totaled a record of $8.9 billion in February for the U.S. travel agencies. That figure, for reference, is 6% higher than the same time last year. People are flying. And also, I also love that this is a reminder that the travel agent or the travel advisor is not dead. People are using them, and they're using them to book their flights and book their hotels. But this is big news. Did you find those numbers a little bit?
I found, what I found surprising was that travel agents are actually booking the airline tickets, because you don't get commissions on a lot of those tickets, right? Am I wrong on that?
Unless it is business class, first class, international. Yeah. So that is interesting, because that is some, you know, for both of us have select clients that we work for. And yeah, it is definitely challenging. But look, I mean, those people are flying.
Yeah, they're flying. They're spending big money. They're going places. I love seeing that. I wonder also, like, how much of it is the prices of tickets also going way up in a lot of places? Because that could be, right? We've seen that you travel way more than I do. And I'm sure you see the ticket prices with Delta.
Totally.
Higher, but coming back down from what I've seen out there as I've been looking.
Yeah.
But the airlines are seeing demand and people are traveling. I haven't seen an airport empty in any major city. I see every plane is full. No. My brother and dad went to Hong Kong and it was packed, they said. So people are going, they're flying.
Yeah. So this was interesting. They talked about Americans are continuing to prioritize domestic travel in the early part of the year. With year over year trips to US destinations, they're outpacing international trips. But what they're also seeing is a huge demand from corporate as well as leisure travelers, just showing that more people are traveling. And then obviously later in the year, people are opting for more international locations. Probably a lot of it has to do with the amount of time that they can take off, because if you're going to fly internationally, you probably want to spend more time. But even just total passenger trips, 24.3 million, that is 9% higher of an increase year over year.
Awesome.
U.S. domestic trips, it's 15 million. That's 11% increase year over year. International trips, understanding what we've just come out of the past couple of years, that's 9.3 million. And that's a 5% increase. And then average ticket prices, well, that was 50, not, that's not how much it is, but it's $573 million as far as just spending that's crazy.
And I'm curious to see like how much this continues, how much longer it continues, because now people have to be back in office, right? So you see a lot of companies saying we're getting rid of our flexibility. A lot of people in those big tech companies getting laid off now too. So those people were able to work from anywhere.
I mean, in Los Angeles, the entertainment industry, we have more to come with that. A lot of execs are going to continue to
get peeled off. So it's interesting to see what will happen with travel, because that's usually the first thing people cut when they're facing financial troubles or they have to be back at an office, that maybe they can't take vacation as much as they want now because their bosses are watching or the owner of the company. So I'm interested to see how this year finishes out. A lot of things going on in our country and around the globe like this.
There's so many things going on. But I do feel like the overall sentiment is, and that we've been in this headspace for the past couple of years, is this YOLO mindset. You know, you only live once, and people are like, yeah, it costs more. Life costs more. I'm just going to do it. I mean, I was even just talking to my aunt I shouldn't be saying this online, but I will. But my aunt just flew in from Portugal yesterday and picked her up at Newark. And we were just talking about, I was like, oh, how was the flight? And she was like, oh, it was great. And she was like, Sarah, I have to tell you, she's like, at the last minute, I paid for an upgraded seat. I just couldn't like sit in the back. And it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was like a couple $100.
Yeah.
But again, more and more people are like, I just have to bite them. Yeah.
I want to have that experience. And if you're listening out there and watching, do you have a trip plan for this month coming up? I know spring break for a lot of people still, or summer vacation. I'm curious, because I'm talking to a lot of friends that are adjusting when they're going because the prices are so high in certain places.
Totally. It's that's a good point, because it's definitely pricier. I'm lucky that most of my trips are covered by clients, but it's definitely, I mean, I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania right now to come from Los Angeles, that ticket price in general, if I would pay for it, main cabin would be anywhere from $800 to $1,000. Just main cabin. Yep. So
a lot of people are paying these prices. So we'll continue. But look, it shows people are still traveling. Hotels are building luxury hotels. So people have the money to spend. They're flying. They're staying at these big time places. Mm-hmm. And it will continue on. So let's see what happens out there. I mean, we're not economists yet. You and I, we haven't taken our courses, but
speak for yourself. I have 4 economy classes under my belt. Thank you, George.
I have one at college. There you go.
They were the ones I did the worst in. Anyway, but let's talk about our last topic here, which I saw this and I was just,
I missed this one. Well, give us the update here.
Okay. Yeah. So airports with the longest and shortest walking distances. And I thought this was interesting because I fly, everybody knows at this point, if you watch regularly, I fly Delta and Atlanta is their huge hub. I used to live in Atlanta as a kid. I know that airport in it, the ins and outs of it. And what I always do, because it is a significant walk, if you're trying to get between terminals, it's actually just about 10 minutes between terminals. So if I am trying to, just about, actually, I feel like it's 8 minutes, but whatever. I have long legs. What I do is that if I actually have time, I will walk in between the terminals so that I can just stretch my legs. So when I saw this article, I'm like, oh, Atlanta definitely has to have the furthest distance. So anybody, as we're kind of talking about this, any airports that you think would have the furthest distance that you would have to walk in between terminals or trying to catch that flight, when you are transferring through there, you are dreading it because you know you're going to have to cover some miles. Well, let us know.
Miami is not on this list, which I'm shocked, but their trolley is down. It's been down for several months.
Stop!
And so it's a mile walk. And so like all these, like, you know, people have to walk and all the, like the old ladies and men are like,
yeah, kinda,
like traversing through and they're trying to get it with these like go-karts or golf carts. I mean, and they can't get people moving fast enough. So it's a big news thing down here. They're trying to get it fixed.
Oh my God. You know, I actually, that's insane. And also good to know too, because if you're if you're traveling and you have a tight connection and you don't have help and you got to do it on your 2 feet, that can make a big difference.
You better be training that half marathon running. You get going and bring your luggage.
I'm training for airport travel. I'm training for layovers. I actually will turn on the, my fitness app. I get my steps in when I'm doing it. But okay. So for those that were anybody, okay. Yeah. Denver. Yes. That was a good one. 3 big concourses. I have definitely done some miles in Denver.
Denver's on the list. It's number 4 on the list.
Oh, Larnaca Airport. Wow. You can go through and get to the gate within 15 minutes or less. Okay. That's not too bad. Oh, wow. We got our little bubbles here. Dubai. Yep. It's amazing. So many shopping. Get those electric scooter luggage things. Yeah, those were super popular apparently at the travel goods.
Yeah, it's like roll around on it.
I know. Okay, so enough with that. We'll go ahead.
Give us the top 5. Go.
Okay, so top 5. Dallas, Fort Worth. It's 2.16 miles. It's the longest walk. Dulles in Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., 1.62 miles. Houston, everything's bigger in Texas. The George Bush Intercontinental Airport, 1.52 miles. Denver, very good on this, 1.45 miles. And then JFK, where I'll be tomorrow, 1.38 miles. Impressive. You guys want to hear about the shortest walks, which I'm kind of surprised that Allentown was not on the list for shortest walks, but
yeah, I'm surprised there's like some other ones on here. But Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky, 0.11 miles.
Yeah.
Westchester County Airport in White Plains, New York, 0.12. Harrisburg International Airport in Middletown, Pennsylvania, 0.13. How do I say this one? The Who Airport in Kauai, Hawaii, 0.18 miles. And Hollywood Burbank Airport, 0.2 miles. Is that a tiny little private airport or something?
Oh my God, super tiny, not private. And I have lived in Los Angeles 17 years and I've never flown out of Burbank Airport.
All right, you're doing a live segment from the Burbank Airport.
Oh my gosh. Creature of habit here. So this is just fascinating. I mean, again, it's like it's definitely a big part of it influences where people have their layovers. People actually consider it. So fascinating. But I see it's like, look, if you have the time, you get to stretch your legs in between flights, why not? you know.
Some of these places have cool malls in them now and great restaurants and great shopping. Yeah. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, it's definitely don't mind it at all. Okay. Real-time recap. What's been going on with you? You're out and about. I've been out and about too, but you've really been out and about. What's going on? What have you seen out there in the streets of hospitality?
I've been out there, the 50 hotels and 50-day challenge. I get to see a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I was really impressed with the Surfcomber Hotel yesterday. I've never really been there, even though my friend is the general manager of the hotel. Love the staff. Such a cool vibe. Everyone is very friendly. Like, I brought my kids and my kids had a great time. So
amazing.
Anytime my kids have a good time and the hotel is family friendly and you got a good vibe, I'm all about it. So shout out to the Surfcomber Hotel.
Ooh, I love that. You know what? I'm going to do a shout out to the new Centurion Lounge in Atlanta, the Amex Lounge. And the reason being, so I had this long layover. I was dreading it. My travel day went from 7 hours to 13 hours. I was trying to stay calm. And a friend of mine was like, hey, there's a new Centurion Lounge. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, that gives me something to check out. I go in there. It's beautiful. It's big. It's, I mean, look, it's new. So it's going to be impressive. And I walk in and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. This is new. And I just heard about it. And I have a long layover. And Terrell is the name of the guy that was at the desk. He was so wonderful, welcoming. He's like, okay, here's this. Here's like the Wi-Fi code. Oh, and you want to make sure they've got a whiskey bar. They've got this other cocktail area. Definitely do a cocktail there. Was so excited about it. And then, of course, I spent some time. And, you know, I'm trying to take video and I was totally thinking about you, Steve, how you keep getting stopped in these hotels. And I'm like, oh man, I hope these people don't stop me because I need a minute, but I also have like bags with me. So I'm taking some video and then I ask one of the women that work there and I'm like, hey, what are like some of the cool features? She's like, oh, honey, let me go ahead and show you. And she took me on this whole tour. It was awesome. And they were like so proud of it where they could have maybe been a bit of a stickler, like, oh, you shouldn't be taking video in here. They were like, no, show it off.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. It was awesome. So shout out to them. They're doing it right. And also shout out, by the way, to everybody in the and Delta. They are also their customer service. I don't know what they do with their training, but I find it fascinating. They're awesome. So yes, that's my little real-time recap.
I love it. The Biscayne Coffee still got the early morning energy going.
Hey, look, I got it right here.
Ooh. All right. Our hospitality quote of the week. So, service is an inside job by Holly Steele.
So for those that don't.
I don't know Holly Steele.
I know Holly Steele. Okay. So I have to share who Holly Steele was, the first female concierge in the United States to get her gold keys. And we're only talking about. In the 80s, I believe. I'm trying to remember. So not
for those that don't know what gold keys are.
The Le Clé d'Or. I wish I had some over here. Yes. So if you ever go to a 4 or 5 star property, by the way, Jeremy is part of Le Clé d'Or, the gold keys of concierge. They are the concierge and you will see them. They're an absolute professional. It's a very prestigious organization that's international. Lots of tests to get into it. So you are dealing with a consummate professional and they've got their gold keys on their lapels. So Holly Steele's a legend in the industry, but I love that she says that service is an inside job because it does. It comes from within, you know?
It's true. So, and you got to be trained. You shouldn't be trained to have that in you is what I'm saying. You either have it or you don't. You can always train people the steps of service, but
yeah.
If you truly want to take care of people, you know, and you can feel those places that hire for those kind of people.
Completely. Because service isn't perfect, but it's the want to serve or to, you know, make somebody's day special. And that totally comes from within. So
that's a great quote. Nice and easy to remember too from Holly Steele.
I know. Love that. Wow. Well, what a show we had today.
Got my bye today.
Coffee over here. Got my little mochaccino Biscayne coffee.
You're going to be fired up today. Look, when I made that one, that's the strongest one you've got today. It's made from a small farm in Colombia. And this that is pure coffee bean there.
This is amazing.
See?
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
We got the commercial going here for everybody. So make sure to check it out at BiscayneCoffee.com. I love it.
I love this. Honestly, I think I would get like a caffeine high just from smelling this coffee. Okay. All right. I shouldn't be doing that on camera. All right.
Well, listen, another awesome week. I love this that you're traveling. You still make it happen. We got to meet your family dog today. We covered some awesome topics.
Yes, definitely. And more fun things coming up.
Yeah,
so,
more fun things.
Yeah.
Got a lot coming up. But listen,
by the way,
go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, by the way, for those that might be attending AHOA next week, come find. You're like, sorry.
I didn't want you to forget.
Guy, come find me. I'll be at AHOA. I am going to be moderating the CEO panel in the general session. So the very first day that everything kicks off, between 9 and 11, we'll be on stage with a bunch of the CEOs of 6 different hotel brands. So come join, come say hi. I'm also doing a book signing afterwards. So, hey, Orlando.
Listen, I love that you're going to be there. And for all of you that always support us every week, we love it. Share this with your friends. We want to keep growing this awesome audience you've got there. And we'll see you next week.
See you guys next week.